Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You are lost in the woods, and there, finally, a marker on a trail to lead you home. You're in a foreign country, and after weeks of hearing words you don't understand, you hear someone speak your language. You've been waiting for days for test results, and the phone rings. The doctor knows how to help you. Comfort, comfort, oh my people. We can each imagine this feeling, the sense of relief at being found, hearing words we understand, finding out that help is on the way. The people of Judah are experiencing all these emotions as the tide of their fortune has turned. For most of these sermons we've been going through in the prophet Isaiah, we have been living with a people crushed and broken, but it is a new day. Cyrus, the king of Persia, has conquered this crumbling Babylonian empire. The Persians, unlike their predecessors, they'll allow Israel to return to their homeland and worship their God. In return, they have to tolerate the rule of Persia, but Israel will get to carve out its existence in the midst of occupation. This last section of Isaiah is often called the Book of Consolation. The former things are past, and God is doing a new thing. And that will also mean that Israel will be doing a new thing. Some of you may remember how this book started. The surviving kingdom of Judah, the remainder of God's people, restructured their community as a place of oppression and elitism. This minority amassed power and wealth. They gobbled up land. They paraded around in gold and silk while ordinary people suffered. The disasters that befall Israel over the course of this prophet's writings, these level the economic playing field, bringing the rich to poverty, the mighty to scorn. Isaiah inveighs against them. Instead of perfume, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-arranged hair, baldness. No offense to baldness. I don't think it's that bad. Instead of a rich robe, a binding of sackcloth. Instead of beauty, shame. If Israel will not economically level their society, God will do it for them. An affluent society built on the backs of the poor is an affront to the very being of God. A nation like this cannot become a blessing to other nations, which was the entire purpose of Israel's existence. That was then, but this is now. Instead of a curse, comfort. Instead of anger, joy. Comfort, comfort, oh my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she served her term, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then a voice. And it's a voice you may recognize. We'll hear it in the verses that open the Gospel of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming baptism for the repentance of sin. John is the voice crying in the wilderness. But what John cries out seems to be directed at someone else. In the wild places, prepare the way of the Lord. And the listener is instructed to fill in the valleys between Jerusalem and Baghdad, the modern day Babylon. They should even out the rough places, take down mountains. This is the construction of a highway that's going to bring God's people back from exile. One of my favorite ways of looking at this image comes from Ephraim the Syrian, the bishop of the southernmost region of Turkey. Ephraim lived around 300 CE and died in his 60s while ministering to victims of the plague. He got the plague himself and died. Ephraim also tried to get out of being a bishop by pretending he was too sick for the job. And I love that for him. It did not work. And when Ephraim heard this vision of a highway construction, he thought about the people who he knew who made the path clear for him. It is said that the valleys are filled because the Lord has entered the world, writes Ephraim. This is also said, because God has filled the deep valleys and the horrible inhospitable caves with ascetics, who, after abandoning the cares of this world, exclusively devote themselves to honor and praise God. Ephraim imports his own experience in the deserts of Turkey and Syria. Their faithful men and women, sometimes known as the desert mothers and fathers, have taken up residence in foreboding places. They spend their lives in this wilderness, in a land devoid of forests and water, surrounded by jackals and highway robbers, and not to mention a lot of demons. There's so many demons out there in the wilderness. And what they do all day is they pray for God's compassion and grace to flow into the world. They pray their way to unity with God. Jesus' life in the world makes a path out of exile to redemption, but we know the shape of that path because faithful people have made it possible for us to walk in that way. I suspect we can each name someone who did this for us. We have each witnessed someone who put their life in the way of danger and distress because they believed it would make the path easier for someone else. Ease. Ease making it possible for everyone to come home. That's one of the features of this oracle. And if we listen carefully, we see that Isaiah imagines a highway where mountains are leveled and valleys raised up. Today, we might say that the road to Jerusalem becomes accessible. Old and young, typically abled and disabled, every single person finds their way home. I like to imagine Ephraim's desert mothers and fathers helping people get over a particularly uneven patch or doing some trail maintenance in an area where a rivet has developed. It matters to God that we all get there together, that not a single one of us is left behind. Our hope isn't big enough unless it's hope for everyone, unless it's a hope that leaves no one out. The comfort that Isaiah announces isn't for a few. It's for all of God's people to return home. Isaiah offers us one final vision, and it's a vision of disarming tenderness. We expect God to arrive in Jerusalem as this massive warrior striding home from battle. The spoils of war are before him. All the warrior king received as victory from the conquering city, the trumpets blast, and the herald announces, "Here comes your God." And then God pulls out a bag of feed and fills a trough. He reaches down and scoops up the youngest lambs and holds them to his chest where they are safe and warm. He looks for the mother sheep and leads her to the place where she is safe and where she can rest. There are many people in our world, in our country, who believe they speak on behalf of God. Many Christians in our country, especially during an election season, who claim to know the will of God. How do we know who to listen to? When are the words truthful? Friends, we look for this God, the God of comfort, the God of consolation. Do we hear the proclamation of a God who clears the rocky road so no one is left behind? Do we hear this resonance with a God who fills in the difficult places with saints and friends who take our hands and help us along the way? Do we hear of the God who lays down weapons of war, instead feeds and protects lambs? Together, we listen for the voice of God that shows us the way home. We look for the one who comforts us as Jesus Christ. We draw together and we find our way home. Amen.